Again, please give your attention to Rabbi Cohen for Halacha Shir.
Thank you so much. Yesterday we began to explore the easy to do and very impactful mitzvah of Tefillas Kelim. And we learned yesterday that there are three basic conditions that a device, a tool has to meet in order for the mitzvah of Tefillas Kelim to apply. Number one, material. Number two, function. And number three, ownership history. Number one, it needs to be made out of metal or glass. Number two, it needs to be in direct contact with food and used in the preparation, the storage, the serving, or the eating of food. And finally, ownership history. It needs to have formerly, at some point in its past, belonged to a non-Jew. And presently, it's in the ownership of a Jew, either you or someone else. Let's spend a couple minutes talking about some of the slightly more advanced situations, three types of situations that Post can discuss whether or not there's a mitzvah of Tefillas Kelim, and then tomorrow we'll wrap up with the process, how you actually tovel the Kelim. So we're talking about a Kli Seuda, that it's actually used for preparing or for eating food. So to Post can have a discussion, we showed him actually Maseches Chulin, talk about how about a Shechita knife? Does a Shechita knife require Tevila? What's so special about a Shechita knife? So typically, when we talk about Kli Seuda, something used for food, it means something used for edible food. Whether you're talking about a glass or a fork and it's actually on the food that you're eating, or even if you have a frying pan or a meat thermometer, let's say, so when the eggs go into the frying pan, they're raw. But by the time they come out, they're ready to eat. The meat thermometer, hopefully the last time you stick it in the meat is ready to go. So that's definitely Kli Seuda. Frying pan, for sure, metal frying pan definitely requires tefillah. But a sakin shel shechita, a shechita knife, even by the time the knife is done, the animal is no longer alive, but obviously we're many steps away from being ready to actually eat that meat. Or to bring it a little closer to home for those who did not go on that part of the food deal, they maybe are dreaming of their gourmet coffee back at home, and you're thinking of that coffee grinder. If you're that type of guy, you wouldn't just take pre-ground coffee. And there's a Rebbe in this room, we won't call him out now. So you need those whole coffee beans, to run through those steel burrs and grind it freshly into coffee powder. But by the time the coffee grinds are out of the grinder, obviously it's not ready to drink yet. Or let's say, We'll go for some more foodies going back home. And you're not just going to make your own schnitzel or steak. You're going to tenderize it first. You have a metal-faced hammer that you smack the raw meat with before you grill it. The meat tenderizer. But it's used only on inedible, thus far, food. So the post can have the assumption that coffee grinders, meat tenderizers, sakon shel shechita, whatever your flavor, if it's used on not yet ready to eat food, you machlokas rishonim, machlokas achronim, halacha l'maisa, it seems like we generally would tovel. We're not sure yes or no, so we would tovel, but no bracha. That's how we deal with the suffix tefillas kelim. Here's another second scenario that may come up more for some of you, and that's the question of giving a gift. I buy a glass dish, classic, what are you going to give for a present? You give a bottle of wine, you're going to give cookies, Max cakes, it's not going to be an option to get back to America. You're going to give flowers, or maybe you'll give a nice dish, or some nice salad spoons. Great, so what's the issue? You bought them in a non-Jewish store, no problem. You want to tovel them, can you? So that's actually an interesting question, because, well, salad spoons, they're Kli Seuda, they're made out of metal, they're made out of glass. I bought them from the non-Jew, and I bought them, so now they belong to me, and I'm Jewish. But the post can say, not so quickly. They belong to you now, but in your hands, they're not really a Kli Seuda. You don't plan to use them for food. That would be very insulting if you gave someone a used dish. You plan to keep it sparkly, new, and mint condition, and the recipient is going to total it. So many posts can say it's actually not chayv and tefillah yet, because it's not in your ownership, it's just meant as a gift. It's meant as merchandise, it's not yet for use. So one option, but on the other hand, you're going to give the gift, and then the recipient may think that, well, he got it from you, you're a religious fellow, you must have tovled it already. So what do you do? So there are a couple of options. One option is, it's always a good idea with a gift to include a note. That way they know who it's from, you get to express your feelings a little bit, and you can write, P.S., not yet tovled. Okay, that's one option, not the nicest. The other option the poskim have is tovel it and use it. How are you going to tovel and use it in a polite way? No problem. Take that dish and tovel it and fill it with candy. And that way you are already using it for food, and then you're, as the first owner, tovel, filled with candy, wrapped beautifully, and then given as a gift. There are other options also, but those are the two leading solutions. And finally, after discussing the shrita knife and the gift dish, let's talk about one more situation. Comes up the most frequently for all of us. Almost all of us have eaten from something like this over the last couple weeks. And that is the question of the George Foreman grill. That's the question of the toaster. That's the question of the sandwich maker or the crepe maker or whatever other variety of electronic equipment that makes food. It has a metal face, is directly in use, in contact with the food. The moment the food comes out of there, whether it's milk or fleishig, delicious, we're lining up to buy those pancakes. Do you have to tovel the pancake maker? Sounds like it should be chayv. On the other hand, there's a tag on the bottom that says, do not immerse. You can scrub it clean with a little bit of water, but if you immerse it, the water pressure is going to shoot the water inside of the, into all the electronic guts of the equipment. So there are different approaches in poskim. Rabbi Shecht is of the opinion that it does not require tefillah at all. And with this we close, and here's why. Because tefillah's kelim, although it's true that one should not use a kli, the tchayv and tefillah, before toveling, it doesn't begin, that idea does not begin life as an iser. It begins, tefillah's kelim is a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah to tovel kelim and subsequently use them. If I have the opportunity to tovel and then use, and I choose not to, I choose to just use without toveling, that's a violation, a bitul of the mitzvah. However, if I have a kli, which once I tovel, I cannot use, whether it's because it has glue, it's glued together, and if I put it into a mikvah, it's going to fall apart, or because once I immerse it for safety reasons, I would not want to use it. So then, if there is no option to tovel and then use, then there is no mitzvah, and one can freely use without toveling. Those are the three slightly more advanced cases. Something used with raw food, a gift, and electronic equipment. Tomorrow we'll wrap this up with a discussion of how actually to go to the mikveh and tovel the kelim. Have a remarkable day.